Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to MAN Infra Construction Limited Q3 and 9M FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yashish Parekh, AGM, Investor Relations and Corporate Finance. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lisa. Good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome to everyone attending the Q3 and 9 months FY23 earnings call of MAN Infra Construction Limited. We have on the call Mr. Parag Shah, the Chairman Emeritus of the company, Mr. Manan Shah, the Managing Director of the company, and Mr. Ashok Mehta, the Group CFO. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I would request to refer the safe harbor statement shared in the investor presentation for the same. Since this is the first earnings conference call, I would request Mr. Parag Shah to give background of the company and the group. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Parag Shah, Chairman Emeritus, MAN Infra Limited. The company is popularly known as MICL Group also, and we are into this business since last 50 years. This is a third generation business. The company was formed by my father in 1964. Subsequently, I joined in 91, and Manan has joined in 2012. The group is built on a solid foundation of trust, quality, excellence, innovation, and known as best ethical practice in the industry. We have two business verticals. One is a EPC, which is engineering, procurement, and the construction division. Mainly now focused on the port sector and some of the infrastructure projects, some of the government projects, and real estate projects, where we are acting as a civil contractor also, we are a partner also, or we are a developer also. The EPC vertical has successfully executed complex structures, mass housing, and some of the tallest residential building in the metropolitan region, and have delivered till now, I believe, above 50 million sq ft, and numerous landmark projects across India, mainly in the sector of ports, infrastructure, residential township, commercial projects, institutional projects, IT projects, and futuristic lifestyle buildings. We are a one decade old in real estate development, and are making a significant mark in this business through our quality and execution capability. Now, I would like to hand over to Manan Shah, who is the Managing Director of MICL Group, to take you through the business and the performance of the company.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being with us. We are a very successful third generation family-owned business, and over past one decade, we've achieved multiple milestones as a company, as a team, and as an industry leader. In last 10 years, we have successfully diversified into real estate business and now constitute approximately 60% of the revenue as on date. We have established MICL as one of the fastest growing real estate developers in Mumbai region, with a portfolio of about 3 million sq ft of ongoing and upcoming projects. With organic market of first-rate quality homes and timely delivery, we've built a strong and reputed brand, Aradhya, under MICL banner, which is our real estate division, and it stands for trust and quality. In such a short span, we have developed a goodwill among our customers, channel partners, where more than 95% of our inventory and in some cases, entire inventory is already sold out before even completing the entire project. The senior leadership is involved in all stages of business, right from planning, licensing, designing, execution, sales, marketing, and we make utmost attention for a customer satisfaction, and we believe in after-sales services as well. This has helped us to garner approximately a cumulative sales of more than 5,750 crores, that includes our group companies, as of December 2022, within a short span in the real estate industry. In last 10 years, we have delivered 10 real estate projects, all being before time, and have 2.65 million square feet of carpet area delivered across Mumbai region. During this time, we have built a robust business model which is efficient and scalable as well. Talking about our EPC vertical, the EPC vertical is into contracting of ports, infrastructure, government projects, and our own residential projects as well. It is a debt-free business with surplus liquidity and minimum capex required on annual basis. This business has been maintaining steady margins and generating positive cash flows in the business. Recently, in April 2022, MICL has been awarded as one of the biggest EPC orders from the Port of Singapore Authority, PSA Group, worth 1300 crores, with a development area of more than 110 hectares of this prestigious project. Currently, the order book of the EPC business comprises of more than 1325 crores as of December 2022, with 120 hectares of port and infra and remaining 4.5 million square feet of ongoing residential and government projects. During the financial year of 2023, MICL has successfully delivered another project naming Aradhya High Park, which is comprising of 1.2 million square feet of construction area. Overall, the construction of all the projects is going on as per schedule, and we are proud to say in some of the stages we are even before schedule, and we expect to complete all of them on time. Adding some light about the real estate business vertical, the real estate business follows an asset-light business model where the company is involved in joint venture, joint development agreement, or development and marketing kind of model to de-risk in the project and leverage on partners' capabilities as well. We have adapted this model as land prices have skyrocketed in the past 10 years, lack of clear title of land, witnessing pain among other builders, having long gestation period of approvals, taking toll on balance sheet and profitability. This strategy has helped us to grow as one of the fastest growing developers in the MMR and in a matter of one decade itself. We have also mastered the art of redevelopment projects where we are doing one cluster redevelopment naming Aradhya One Earth, which comprises of 14 buildings. Currently, our focus is to grow and expand in Mumbai MMR region with a well-diversified portfolio. Diversified customer group where we are targeting all the class, where starting from the middle income group, the upper income group, the HNIs, and even the ultra HNIs. We've always believed in diversification across categories as well. So we've always had projects which are ranging in the medium segment, the premium segment, and luxury segment. And now, with the new projects which we are about to launch, adding the ultra-luxury portfolio as well. We've got diversified location as well across MMR region, where we are based out of Western Suburb, Central Suburb, and now South Mumbai. In Western Suburb, we are at Meera Bhayandar, where we've got our middle income and premium mid-segment group, where the project name is Aradhya High Park and Aradhya Parkwood. We are based out of Villeparle as well, which is Insignia project, which is our luxury project. We've also launched recently a project in Johu, which is our ultra-luxury project, which is named Aradhya Evoke. Talking about Central Suburb, we are based out of Mulund, where we've got high-rise buildings, multiple, and the project name is Atmosphere. This is in a joint development partnership. We've also got another project in Ghatkopar, which is a cluster redevelopment of more than 14 buildings clubbed in together, making it one big gated community, which is called Aradhya One Earth. We've also established in South Mumbai, where we are coming up at Tardeo, which is going to be the ultra-luxury project of our company, which we are going to launch soon. In all, we've got 3 million square feet of portfolio in ongoing, upcoming projects and have another 1.7 million square feet of projects in the pipeline. I would like to add some highlights about our business regarding the ongoing projects performances, where we have sold 2.65 million square feet of carpet area with a cumulative sales of approximately 5,700 crores as of December 2022. Over last few years, real estate demand has been resilient and have been maintained similar momentum in 9 months FY23 as well. We've been maintaining more than 1,000 crore of sales run rate since the last 2 years and have achieved 742 crores of sales in the 9 months of FY23. During the financial year of FY23, we have launched 3 new projects across different categories with a carpet area measuring of approximately more than 7 lakh square feet. This has been a record launch for MICL Group in 1 year. We are only 2 months away from completing the year and we've got our upcoming launches of Dahisar, which is Aradhya Parkwood, and Juhu, which is Aradhya Evoke, and Atmosphere, which is we're adding another tower in the project. Aradhya Parkwood, which is a middle income group project at Meera Bhayandar, which we launched in December, is already 40% sold out, which is more than 1 lakh square foot in just 15 days. And the Juhu project that we launched is also more than 60% sold out till date. In terms of project completion and deliveries, we've delivered more than 5.3 lakh square feet of carpet area all before time. Aradhya High Park project, which is our Meera Bhayandar project, has received OC recently for the phase 1 development, which comprises of 4 towers and a commercial tower. And we are very proud to say that this is also completed before time and in a record-breaking timeline, which is more than 16 months. Aradhya East Wind project, which is our project based out of Vikhroli, also has received OC in this financial year, and we have been proud to say that that project is completely sold out, and even this project is delivered before time, which was 17 months before the schedule. So possession of both projects have been going on and it's been getting completed. We are also in receipt of OC for one of the towers in Aradhya One Earth project, where we are going to hand over and deliver 3 towers in Aradhya One Earth, which is at Ghatkopar, and that's in the progress. Sharing some light about our upcoming projects, we expect to launch Tardeo project, which is going to be one of its kind and first ultra luxury project of MICL Group, measuring around 6.5 lakh square feet of carpet area, and it is due in probably in the quarter 4 of FY23. We are very excited to expand our footprint in South Mumbai, and we are still looking out aggressively for a few more projects. Talking about our international portfolio, which is United States of America, we've expanded our footprint over there and it has been in demand since then. We've expanded in the city of Miami, which is in the state of Florida. The strategy is very simple, where we've de-risked ourselves by strategizing and tying up with a local partner named Location Ventures, which is a very reputed brand and based out of Miami. And one of our projects has also gained a strategic partnership with Marriott Group, and we are launching our addition residences soon. which is the first project in that location of Florida. This project is on the waterfront and it has got completely surrounded by natural surroundings, and it's got more than 65 luxury residential units. The total area would comprise of approximately 1,75,000 square feet. Talking about another project in Miami, we have an upcoming project on Miami Beach named Urban Miami, which is going to be a commercial leased model where the concept is unique of co-live, co-work and an extended stay hotel alongside wellness amenities. All of these in one building at a very prime location of Miami Beach. This project is currently at an initial stage and it has gone for approvals. We've also taken up another project in the city of Coral Gables, where we are coming up with a super luxury condominium apartments, and it is going to have more than 80 units with a total sales area of more than 2,50,000 square feet. This project is also under the approval status. We've got another project in the city of Miami where we are building boutique residential bungalows, where these bungalows, the total area would approximately be around 6,000 square feet. Overall, if I share some light on the investments, the company has invested around $20 million in the US portfolio, and we see an excellent potential and very good margins coming out of these projects. The expected project timeline should vary between 3 to 5 years from now.
Should we open up for questions?
Yes, we are open for questions now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vipul Sangvi from Systematic Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, Parag Bhai and Manan Bhai. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. And congrats as well on the very detailed and exhaustive investor presentation. First time, you know, listening to the company's business. So my basic question is around the share of business between real estate and EPC. You mentioned that real estate currently is at 60% of the overall revenue and is growing very fast. So how do we see, say, over next 3 to 5 years, will real estate be the dominant share of business? Will it move to something like 75-80% of the total business and EPC will remain more like an execution part of the business?
Basically, see, we are into EPC business since 1964. And EPC business is still on. We are more focused on the EPC business where we are partnering into a project. We take up a project for various developers also. But now we are intending to take the projects only where we are having a partnership in a project or we are doing our own projects. We do every construction on our own. We have our own plant, machinery, equipment, and we do not sublet anything except the labor contract. Port sector is a niche business for us. And since 97 onwards, we are continuously doing the ports, and this PSA port, which is the second phase which we won, first phase also we constructed. And this is the eighth port till now, which we are doing. We are much hopeful on a port sector. We are doing some of the reputed projects from government also. We are doing one of the large projects for Pimpri Chinchwad Municipal Corporation, where 123 buildings which we have handed over. And the second phase and third phase is under construction. So EPC business will also continue. But as a margin point of view or as a turnover point of view, of course, this real estate sector will be more.
All right. So you mean to say that share of real estate in overall revenue and profitability will steadily be going up from here? That's what the summary
is. Yeah. According to me, like, we have a pipeline of next 5 to 7 years projects which we are already having in hands. Because this Mira Bayandar, we had handed over the 4 buildings, we got the OC and handed over around 1200 flats. 2 buildings are under construction, which we are expecting to complete in next around 15 months time. We are launching another 2 projects which we had already launched. A sale has already been launched. The construction will start in next 10 to 15 days time. There, in the first 2 buildings, there are 567 flats are there. Out of that, I think around 250 flats plus we have already sold. And we have a third phase also at Mira Bayandar. So I think the Mira Bayandar, we are having a pipeline till at least 2027-2028. Juhu project, we should be able to complete by next financial year. Parla, we are starting a second phase. The first phase is nearer to completion. We are expecting the OC within a month's time. And the second phase, we will be able to start, which is approximately 1.5 lakh sq ft, which we are expecting to start in next 2 months' time. So that project will also go on for next 4 years, where we are EPC contractor also, and where we are a DM model partner also with the developer. The similar way we are doing the Tardeo projects, which is one of the high-rise building and maybe one of the tallest building of Mumbai. We recently got the permission of 300 meter plus height. There also we are EPC contractor also, and we are a DM model partner also. So that projects will go on for at least next 6 to 7 years time. Ghatkopar project, we were doing 14 buildings. Out of that, the 5 buildings which we were supposed to construct for the tenants and 9 buildings for a sale. Out of that 5 tenant building and 3 sale building, OC we have received before 3 days. And the balance construction will go on by the end of this December. I think we are expecting to complete that project. We are a partner in Atmosphere project, which is at Mulun, where we have handed over 3 buildings of 44-story building. 2 building, 48-story, RCC is completed and we are expecting to complete in the next 12 months' time. And another 2 building which we have started, which are also residential, 48-story. And 1 commercial building is under construction, which is around 23-24-story building. Out of that, some 17-18-story construction is already completed. So Mulun project also we expect to complete in next 3-3.5 years. So we have an EPC pipeline of our in-house projects also, or we are a partner, or we are a DM model partner, that for next 5 years we have a EPC contract order book is there. And we are definitely looking for a new projects. That is more or less zero. We were having some loan at the Mira Bayandar, approximate 274 crore rupees. Out of that, 100 crore rupees has been paid in this quarter already. And we are expecting to pay off the balance 174 crore rupees also by this month. So we believe that by end of this March, Money Infra as a group company also, or a subsidy company also, will become a debt-free company.
All right, Paragvai, thank you for a detailed answer and wish you all the best.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Parth Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, I would like to ask about your strategy in real estate. So as you pointed out multiple points in owned doing owned land projects, about the negatives that it has and why you chose to go with an asset light model. But in a market where demand is picking up post COVID and the projects are doing well, so don't you think that the absolute return could be more maximized through projects done on own land? Because recently a lot of developers have been taking up land in Mumbai. So just wanted to get your take on that.
See, the Mulund project which we are doing, which is on land, where we are three partners are there and that land is belongs to us. Mira Bhayandar project is a joint venture model where we are sharing the top line with the landlord. And we are doing some of the redevelopment projects in Mumbai and the DM model. But we strongly believe that rather than purchasing the land and investing a huge amount of money in a land, we are more focused on the DM model. And such type of opportunity, ample of opportunities are available where the less investments are there, but the same type of margins you have been able to get.
Okay, so going forward, it will continue to be more of an asset-light approach.
That's what we are targeting, but if we are getting some land at a cheaper price, we are open to do that also. Because we will become a debt-free and we do not have a loan of any institute, any bank or any individuals. So we are free to change our model also as and when required. But as of today, I believe that this model is a perfect model for us.
Okay, understood. And sir, just to understand, if you were to go on a land acquisition project, so what kind of debt levels are you comfortable with for your balance sheet to acquire such lands?
So there is no such norms for a debt level, but practically our company was always a debt-free, historically debt-free. We just took a loan in one of the projects. Actually, it was not a loan, it was a partnership arrangement, but it was arrangement was in the terms of loan, which we are clearing off. So we do not have a limitation. We won't go for a debt, but as on today, we don't think we will require a debt. So we are not looking. We are just tying up with the banks, always the construction finance, just for the smooth process of the work. That's all. Otherwise, we are not taking the loans for purchasing the land.
Okay. So, secondly, on the competitive outlook, so being a resident of Mumbai, we are seeing more and more developers coming up and adding project in Mumbai. So, what kind of pressure is that putting on acquiring new deals, especially under JV model, JV or asset-light model, sorry?
See, in our case, competition, we don't believe because most of the developers are not an EPC contractor. If you see 100 developers in Mumbai, out of 198 developers are outsourcing the work to some of the contractors and they are looking for a company like Maninfra somewhere, where we have an in-house facility. We have our own plant machinery. We have our own shuttering. So we are fully equipped with manpower also. So I believe that we are one of the most competitive in that terms. And the Maninfra has gained that much marketability that we are getting a premium rate compared to the surrounding properties in every location. Whether it's Mira Bhayandar, whether it's Ghatkopar, whether it's Mulund, whether it's Juhu, we have been able to govern our premium.
Okay, understood. So sort of a one-stop shop for anyone looking to put up a new project. So it becomes an advantage to partner for them as well. Understood your point, sir. And sir, lastly, on a project-specific question, sir, the Evoke project and Parkwood, so both of these have seen great traction on launch. However, sir, the Atmosphere project in Mulund, so there the sales are lagging a bit in terms of launch in April 22, and around one-sixth of the project is sold as of now, whereas I think another phase of the project was launched last year, which is now 80% sold. So could you please comment on that situation?
Ladies and gentlemen, we lost the line for Mr. Parag Shah. Please take.
I'll answer it. So,
connected. Thank you. Yes, sir, you may please proceed.
Yeah. So atmosphere project that you're talking about, being, see, Mulund being a very, very competitive market, every year there are tons of developers coming and launching multiple projects on it. Now, we've launched atmosphere phase one, successfully sold out, OC received, handed over, everything is done. Then we launched atmosphere O2, out of which two towers were launched, where we are successfully sold. We've launched the third tower, and now it's the final tower that we've launched, which is the G tower. There also the traction has just begun. But when we are comparing suburbs, like when we compare western to eastern suburb or central to eastern, there's a difference in the absorption rate, which we've always observed. But I don't see it as a challenge. It's just Mulund takes slightly more time because of availability of inventory is too much in the market. Whereas in the central and the western suburbs, the inventory is slightly lesser available, which makes the sales much more faster as well.
Okay, okay. Got your point. Thank you so much for answering my question. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Ostwal from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question on the order book of the EPC side of the business. So on quarter to quarter...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Ostwal. Sir, there's a lot of background disturbance from your line.
Hello, am I better?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my question on the order book movement on the quarter-to-quarter basis, it has declined. So what is our outlook on the order inflow in the coming quarter or 12-month perspective on the order inflow side, on the EPC side of the business?
Yeah, see, on the EPC front and all that, the order book which we are seeing now is from the port project and the real estate development project what we are doing. Uh-huh. As far as the ongoing thing is concerned, as Parag bhai mentioned, you know, we have our internal work as well, a lot of work, and big construction area, wherein it doesn't come up in the order book, but these are the projects which are executed in-house. That is one thing. We are also working on some of the infra projects where things are in pipeline and all that, but we can't discuss and disclose at this point of time. So focus, as we mentioned, as Paraguay mentioned, is in both, but we'll be definitely selective. It's not that we want to take each and every order or go for each and every order.
Second question on the, from fourth May, when we saw the interest rate increase in the system, how much price increase we have taken our key real estate projects? What percentage of price increase we have taken from that time frame, basically?
Interest rate as in on our borrowing?
No, no. My question is, in the market, the interest rate has increased. So the question is, from a demand perspective, the interest rate has increased, the EMI of the consumer has increased, and in that period, how much price realization we have gained against our like-to-like basis on those projects which we are currently operating?
So see, because of the interest rate going nominally high, it has frankly not affected the demand much, neither the pricing segment in the market. Prices have been stable enough, and absorption has also been constant, because post that also we launched this project which is at Mira Bhayandar, where home loan plays a very key important factor, but people are very comfortable with the interest rate that's going on and the price that we have launched at. So it has not impacted our pricing, where we had to discount because the pricing of the home loans went up.
No, the question is other way around. The question is like, are we able to increase the price the way we were doing before, or the pace of the increase has decreased or not? So can you comment on that piece?
Comparing project to project, yes, we've been increasing the price like earlier, where if I give you an example of Mira Bhayandar project, the pricing was X when we launched the phase 1, then we increased the price by certain percentage, and when we launched phase 2, the price is even furthermore. And now since the project is ready position, the pricing is almost gone significantly higher than the under construction project.
Yeah. Thank you, sir, and all the very best and excellent set of numbers for the quarter and the 9 months. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is in the line of Jay Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Is my voice audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. First is, we do not see any land bank mentioned in your presentation. Can you please elaborate on your approach towards the real estate segment on that?
See, as I had already mentioned that we are working on a redevelopment projects majorly in Mumbai. Or we are on a DM model. Except the Mulund project where we own the land. We do not own the land of any of the projects. So there won't be a land bank. We will be able to show it in a balance sheet.
Okay, that's pretty clear. Okay, thank you. And second would be working on asset-light model. What is our approach in some of the ongoing projects where we have 100% stake? Also, can you provide some insight into the cost structure and your operating model in these projects?
Ashok Bhai?
See, basically in redevelopment projects, and you know, when you buy a land, the biggest difference is the investment in the land, which we do. Rest of the construction cost, premium and rest are same in line with any other project. So the initial capital outlay, which you don't have to do, and where because of that you save on a lot of finance cost and finance burden as well. That is how it helps improve the project. Secondly, the redevelopment project, one of the good part about that is we are not worried about the title of the land and all that, especially when there are MADA redevelopment and all that. So these are absolutely clear title project. So the number wise, the biggest difference comes in terms of initial outlay and finance cost associated with that. Rest of the cost in terms of construction, premium are all the same.
Okay. Okay, and lastly, so your 9 months FY23 revenue have grown significantly. So what is your outlook going forward in terms of your revenue visibility, and what would be the key projects driving growth going forward?
Yes, yeah, see, because all the projects are already launched, they are all achieved good sales as well, and the revenue recognition has already started. So we are definitely seeing to maintain the growth and the pace and everything in the coming few years as well, based on the projects what we already have in hand. So the projects which are, because all the projects have started, approvals are in place, construction is going at full pace, sales has also happened. So we are definitely positive about the future sales and the increase in the sales as well.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is in the line of Hardik Gori from Alpha Plus Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. You have been shifting your focus towards the real estate segment, but if you look at it from a Q3 FY22 and Q3 FY20, revenue has declined on a year-on-year basis. So some light on that would be helpful.
Actually, the revenue has not been declined. Last year, we were having a one-time income. Last financial year, we were having one large claim from a government which we got settled after 5 years. So in the last year, in the second quarter, we got almost, correct me Ashok Bhai if I am wrong, it was more than 100 crore rupees PBT was added because of that project.
At PAT level.
Understood. And second question pertains to you expanding in markets like Miami, but there is still scope of expanding in other geographies in India. So just wanted to understand your thoughts on the same.
We are definitely doing the work in Mumbai, and we believe that at present our business model will not permit us to go outside Mumbai. Because the Mumbai market is that way, whatever the product you are constructing, ultimately there is a sale. It's not such type of sale you will ever see in two-tier cities. Miami is another focus which we did with the local partners over there, and my younger son is also over there and who is looking after the projects over there. So basically in Miami we are doing two projects in Miami, one at Fort Lauderdale and one at Coral Gables, but these are all projects in Florida. And definitely, we have started looking after the other geographically in U.S. also, maybe in New York also, but that is under the negotiation, that is under the discussion. It's yet not materialized.
Okay. Thank you, and that's all from my side.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to know what is your revenue recognition. Do you follow percentage of completion or do you follow project completion method?
No, we follow percentage completion.
Okay. And is there some way to estimate the NAV of real estate projects that are going on? I mean, the current value discounted?
That can be done, yes.
So, can I get in touch with your team offline to understand that?
Yeah, sure.
I will do that. Thank you. Thank you very much. And congratulations on a good set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Dhruve Sangvi from Prospero Tree. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand on two areas that because we are doing projects in Mumbai and generally we have higher margins in Mumbai, can we say that broadly the margin profile of the future projects will increase to maybe 30 or 40% over time? Or this 25-27% is the reasonable number to expect?
So that depends every project to project. If you ask me offline, I can say yes, but I would not like to commit any such type of commitment. But this is all depending on the project, all depending on the market. There will always be a market risk also, and demand and supply will also be there. But depending on the projects, wherever we are doing the projects, like we are doing the projects in South Mumbai, where we are, our investment is very low because of DM model. But we are getting a DM fees on a top line. So again, the investment, the margins will look much higher.
Okay. Okay. And Paragai, one more part in terms of pre-sales. So generally, most of the real estate companies talk in terms of pre-sales that they would like to achieve X amount of pre-sales per year. Is there something on that kind of lines that you can suggest?
No. We don't believe in that. Like, we are hardworking people. We work from morning to evening. And we believe in God. So, like, everyone wants to become a top man, but that's only to talk, basically. Like, this will be my pre-sale. If I will be able to achieve, you will say good. If I will not be able to achieve, what you will be able to do. So rather than doing that, we don't give such type of commitments to anyone.
Okay. And in terms of number of projects, which probably as a company we can undertake, at a point in time, can we say that in Mumbai alone, we can do 10 projects, 15 projects of decent size, not very small individual buildings or key development, but let's say the cluster development that we are doing in Dahisar, in Ghatkopar, something like that, can we achieve a 10 micro market location possibility?
Few years ago when we were doing only EPC contracting and we were not a developer, at that time we used to do 18-20 projects also at a time.
Okay.
So we have a capacity, as I mentioned, that we have all machinery, plant, equipment, shuttering, manpower, and luckily we have a team trained under the EPC business. So we are very cost conscious also because we used to work under 200 and 300 rupees margin before as a contractor because my contract size was 2000 rupees a square feet. And if I was making 10%, 15% profit out of that, so the margins was 200 to 300 rupees a square feet. So my team is trained accordingly. We have a capacity to increase 4-5 projects also very smoothly and easily. But we always take up the projects not only in terms of execution capability, a finance capacity also, and we would like to maintain our balance sheet. We would not like to go on a heavy debts and all. It's a dividend paying company. Every year we pay dividends. My house, Manan's house, runs on a dividend. and we believe that we should make a current money also as well as future money. We don't believe only in future.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I will join back in the queue. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Megh Shah from Prospero Tree. Please go ahead. Megh, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I had a few questions about the Maitri project in Chembur, park redevelopment project. You have mentioned that project in the quarter one investor presentation, but there has been no mention of it in quarter two or quarter three. So why is it that way, and what is the current status?
We are on a almost on the sign of merge of DA. There are some dispute among some of the members of the redevelopment, and we are trying to sort it out, that issue, but that project is yet not materialized.
Okay, so when are we expecting it to materialize?
It was supposed to be expected before 6 months. So we are struggling on that.
Okay, got it. And another question about the Tardev project. What exactly is the DM model?
In a DM model, we invest the money. If any debt is required, that will be taken on a land or on a balance sheet of a developer. It will be the responsibility of a developer. We will be only a co-guarantor. Whatever money we invest on that, we charge them 14% interest. Plus on our top line sale, whatever the sale will happen, on that we charge them 12.6% DM fees. Over and above that, whatever the EPC contract work will be there, on cost plus 10% will be charged. So there are three types of money we will be getting. On an investment, we are getting 14% interest. On a top line, we are getting 12.6%. And on a EPC contract, we are getting 10%.
Okay, got it. And continuing on the Tardev project, is the entire 6.5 lakh square feet saleable? Because it is a redevelopment project. So is the entire saleable to new customers, or what portion of it is, to be given to the old tenant?
See, as far as the EPC contracting will be there, it is a 14 lakh square feet because it will require tenant construction also. There are three buildings. One is a tenant building and two is a cell building, plus the parking portion. So total construction area will be 14 lakh square feet. The carpet sellable area is around 6,54,000 square feet.
Okay, got it. And what are the revenue and margin potential for the Tardev project?
On 14 lakh square feet, we estimate approximate cost of construction is 5,000 square feet. 5,000 rupees a square feet. So on that, we will be earning 10%, so around 500 rupees per square feet on a 14 lakh square feet. We have invested somewhere around 200 crore plus. On that, 14% interest is payable. Whenever the cash flow will be available, we will take out our money first, and final money will go to the developer. First, we will take out our EPC contracting money. Second, we will be charging them interest. Third, we will be charging them DM fees, and then whatever the left out will be there, that will go to the developer.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that was it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is in the line of Neeraj Vijay Kamtekar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, do we have any inventory on completed project?
Luckily, in our most of the projects, we have sold 100%. Like, we got the OC before 3 days for a Ghatkopar project, three buildings, which was a cell building. all three buildings are 100% sold. We got a OC of our Vikroli project called Aradhya East Wing before 3 months. That was also 100% sold before OC. We got the OC of Atmosphere project, 3 buildings before a year. And I think 2 flats are left over there. Balance all was sold. We got the OC of Dahisar project before 2 months. This Dahisar means we are calling Mirabai, and there is Dahisar only. Is adjoining Dahisar. There also everything has been sold.
Okay.
And past whichever the projects we completed, we do not have any inventory.
Okay. And sir, will the current range of 200 crore plus revenue representation from real estate is to be maintained?
Can you repeat your question?
Will the current run rate of 200 crore plus revenue recognition from real estate is to be maintained?
We believe yes, it's easily to able to achieve that.
Okay. And sir, what is the broad guideline on real estate margin?
Sorry to interrupt. Sir, may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Dhruvesh Sanghvi from Prospero Tree. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Parag, just generally asking from an industry perspective, with the interest rate increase in the recent times, what is your feeling in terms of overall market change? Because there is almost 200 basis points or 2% increase in the overall interest. Some comments.
Luckily, according to my understanding or whatever we discussed with among various developers, no one has got any hit because of the interest increase, because the demand is there since last 1.5 year post COVID. The size of the flat is also increased and salability has also been increased. So because of the interest that has gone up, we have not seen anywhere where the sale is slowed down.
Okay. And sir, again, this is broadly again to do with the broader language of the industry. When people say that there is a, let's say you said, use the words 5,000 rupees per square feet as the cost. Is this the pure labor, construction, material cost, or does it also include the premium when the general language of per square feet is used?
No, it doesn't include the premium. It's a silly, it's an EPC contract.
So when we use things, let's say cities like Ahmedabad or Hyderabad or Bangalore, where most of the people use language as 2,000 or 2,000 rupees per square feet of cost, because generally in the past we used to hear that, for a 25, 30, 40 story building, this is the broad range of cost. Has the costs overall for the industry has increased so much that it reaches now 4,000-5,000 crores, or this is an ultra premium and therefore it is 5,000?
No, generally it's a thumb rule, so we can't say it's a norm, but by the thumb rule, generally between till 20 story building, now because there is a cost of GST also has been added,
right.
So almost 300 rupees per square feet, the cost has shoot up.
Right.
So up to 20-story building, normal cost 2,500 to 3,000 rupees a square feet cost of construction is there in Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
If you are constructing between 40-45-story building, the cost comes between 4,000 to 4,800 rupees a square feet depending on your specification. And a high-rise building, there are few buildings in Mumbai where the cost of construction is going more than 20,000 rupees a square feet also. But a thumb rule is 5,000 to 6,000 rupees a square feet, the cost can be fitted. Because most of the developers said in EPC contracting, when one is doing the EPC contract, the lift doesn't come under the MUN.
Okay.
Any developer would like to take directly a lift from Schindler or Otis or Mitsubishi or any other company.
Right.
The cost of the lift and some of the bought out items, some of the garden items that generally developer does on their own. But in a high-rise building, the cost of construction to a developer where the 50-story plus buildings are there,
mm-hmm.
the cost of the developer would be somewhere around 6,000 rupees square feet.
including everything. Right. And again, connected to the same thing, because just as an example, let's say when you said that there is a 15 lakh or approximately that number as a square feet to be built for that entire Tardeo project. So again, is this the carpet area that we generally speak, or this is a saleable equivalent area that we speak?
No, it's a construction area.
Construction area. And
these are all three is different. The saleable area is different, carpet area is different, the construction area is different.
Right. And when we speak...
The construction area means out-to-out measurement of the building, which includes the basement, which includes the parking, which includes the amenities, which includes the, if there is a tenant building.
Right. Right. And then when we say 650,000 square feet, which is saleable, again, this might not be carpet. This is saleable because...
No, that's a carpet saleable.
Carpet saleable. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Bharagwa. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is from the line of Neeraj Vijay Kantikar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, what is the broad guideline on real estate margin on ongoing projects?
We have been able to maintain generally this 27-28% till now we have been able to maintain, but as I mentioned, answer already this question before also, but there cannot be any thumb rule on that. It is always case to case which type of properties are there. Because see, some of the buildings in South Mumbai where the per square feet area, the rate is going on 1,50,000 rupees, 1,25,000 rupees. Where the cost of construction will shoot up maybe by 3,000 rupees a square feet. So it all depends when you had purchased the land. What is the cost of your land? What is the premiums you had paid? So there cannot be any thumb rule.
Okay.
Because the cost will always be vary between developer to developer, site to site, location to location.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Taveri from Meridian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a follow-up to the question on costs. The numbers that you mentioned is just the civil construction cost, or it includes finishing like painting, tiling, bathroom, etc.?
When I'm talking, say around 4,000 to 5,000 rupees a square feet cost, that includes everything.
Okay. That's
the cost of the...
And the about 2,000.
Also, depending on what you are asking. If you are asking the question on EPC contract side, then it won't cross 3,000 rupees. But if you are asking the cost on a developer side, it can go to 5,000 to 6,000 rupees. Because in EPC contract, everything doesn't come under the same contract.
Right.
Many developers give plumbing contract to someone else, electrical contract to someone else, lift someone else.
No, I'm asking from a developer's point of view.
The developer point of view, as I mentioned, you have to consider in a Mumbai, a good quality construction between 30 to 40 story building, you should count around 4,000 to 4,500 rupees a square feet.
Okay.
On a construction area.
And construction area is generally higher than carpet area?
It is generally 1.5 times to 2.5 times, depending on the planning, depending on the how much high-rise is there. Because if there is a building that is high-rise, you may require two lifts or more lifts, two staircases. Your passage width will be minimum 6 feet. Your staircase width will be minimum 5 feet. So this all depends on the norm, which building you are constructing, how many story building you are constructing. But in a tall building, like 40 story plus, the thumb rule is 2.4 times.
Okay. So effectively...
There is no tenant.
Okay. So effectively for Mann's portfolio in Mumbai, the cost as a developer would range from 2,000 to maybe 5,000-6,000.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And for like say ultra-luxury like Tardev, it would be higher, I'm assuming, or no?
Tardev, if you want to consider the cost on only carpet saleable areas, then it will cost around 14,000 rupees a square feet.
Okay.
But if you talk about the on the cost of construction area, then it will be somewhere around 5,000 to 6,000 rupees a square feet.
And okay, and this is a plus premium. So that is separate.
Yes, yes. Plus premium, plus land cost, plus architect cost, plus the various consultant cost, plus out of pocket expense.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Shubhai, would you like to say anything?
No, Parag, that's fine. Just basically just to mention that the way the company has been managing the balance sheet, even through thick and thin from the beginning, maintaining the liquidity, maintaining the profitability, maintaining the dividend distribution and growing and performing and executing all the projects before time. So we definitely would like to also thank the management for this and all the team and the staff members. And any questions to anybody further, they can connect us directly. We have given the contact number of IR Mr. Yashish as well. And we'll be more than happy to answer all your questions.
Thank you
very much. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you, all of you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.